Amen. I thank God for a wonderful worship team. How good it is to sing praises together. We want to continue in worship as we lift up His Word, and we're in the book of James. Today we're going to start with chapter 2. James is probably the first book written in the New Testament before even any of the Gospels, written by the brother of Jesus. So let's stand and read these verses together. He's going to talk about welcoming anyone and everyone into the church, not showing discrimination. James chapter 2 and verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask for understanding, Lord. We know that you have entrusted us, your church, with the gospel, Lord, to go and proclaim it. And Lord, we want your name to be honored here. We want people to look and see your good and to see you in our church, in our midst. Lord, we want you to be honored here. So, Lord, revive us with your word. Give us understanding how to follow you, how to manifest your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a few weeks ago, my bank sent me a birthday card, an e-birthday card. I also got one from Guyo Toyota. And I got one from my dentist. Princeton Optometry sent me a really cool animated singing birthday email. We left Princeton over 10 years ago, and I haven't talked to them since. Suddenly, all these people want to be my friend, want to wish me a happy birthday. But my favorite one by far, here's the one I like. All these people, you probably can't see the sign. The sign says, happy birthday, Matt. And they're all clapping and celebrating. I have no idea who any of these people are. I got it from Team Lemonade, and I Googled. I think it's probably a homeowner's insurance company. They really enjoyed my birthday, right? Thing is, psychologically, it works. The marketers know that it works. I mean, it really does. Make you feel good, puts a smile on your face, right? If you're talking to a salesman and he says, oh, I really like your jacket, it's nice. You know he's a salesman, but it's still, it works. You see, you and I have this huge, tremendous, overwhelming need simply to belong to a group where we are accepted, where they like us. It is a massive need in our hearts. It is as fundamental as food, clothing, and shelter. We can have all of those It will not be enough. We need to belong. Might make you do crazy things. Back in seventh grade, my hair, I can't do anything with it. It's just straight. Matthew has the same thing. I warned him. I got a perm back in seventh grade, got my hair curled. One of the most disastrous things I ever did, you know. But you go to school. School was not a safe place, right? You're constantly just feeling judged, and there's cliques, and which one are you a part of? We really need to belong. We want a place where we are safe, accepted. You know, we lived in China for several years, and we got to travel many different countries in Asia. One day, Melissa had to go to an American embassy to get pages in her passport. And she went, and there's a huge line, hundreds of people. And so she just stood in this line for about 20 minutes, said she felt like a doofus later. Because some official saw her and thought, I don't think you're a local. And he took her, saw her passport, took her all the way to the front of the line. And the soldiers made a way for her to come in. She said, I felt so just safe and welcome. I mean, this is my people, my country. I mean, nothing. Do you love the country that we were visiting? But that's what we want church to be like. Church, you walk in and this is where I belong. This gives me my identity, gives me my purpose. This is where I belong. It's a huge need in our lives. But something really good and beautiful can be corrupted for very, very sinful purposes. Just like, you know, marriage and sex are beautiful, wonderful things. They can be corrupted, and there's all kinds of sexual immorality. So our desire, our need to belong is a good thing, but it can be corrupted, and it leads to showing judgment to others and showing favoritism. It leads to racism. It leads to discrimination. That's what James is talking about here, and he warns the church in the strongest language. You guard yourselves against discrimination. It is evil. It is wicked. We are tempted constantly to discriminate, you know, all through our lives, you know, based on people's race, people's clothing, people's socioeconomic status, the way people talk, gender, all kinds of reasons, you know, we're tempted to discriminate. We have to guard against that because we proclaim mercy triumphs over judgment. We proclaim the law of liberty, that we are free, that in Christ we're accepted, when we come into the kingdom of God, whosoever will may come, and I'm not anyone to judge. So I want to look at this passage, and I simply want to start by putting it into context, what James is talking about here. So put it in the context, we want to understand that we were created for community. Like I say, it's as fundamental as food, clothing, and shelter. We need community. God blessed them. God said to them, Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. He wanted them to build a large family and then a larger family, a clan, and they work together as a body and they do things. God is Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is eternally in community. He creates man in his own image. And that's who we are. So our desire to be together, and then gives him a purpose, go and subdue, have dominion over the earth. We like to do things together like that, right? I mean, it's reason we like being on sports teams, right? You get together, this is my team. And on Saturday, we're going to go and we're going to subdue all these other teams and have dominion over them. We're going to conquer, right? I remember the only time I remember winning a track meet, there's only about 10 other teams there, and we won the meet. And Carl, I remember his last name, Carl was screaming the entire way from the field back to the bus, "We won this meet. We rule. We like to belong to a team. We like to be part of it. Like to be part of clubs in your school, right? This is where, you don't like to be a part of a club, Dorothy? Sure you do. You will." It's the same thing that drives social media, right? We want the likes. We want the clicks. This desire in our heart and the fear in our heart that I don't belong. That I'm going to be judged. That's because we were created in the image of God. So we're created for community. We're corrupted by sin. Something very good gets corrupted. God told Adam and Eve, go and be fruitful and multiply and build community and subdue the earth. But leave judgment of good and evil to me. They said, actually, God, we want to be the judges of good and evil. Serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. But God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. It'll be like God knowing good and evil. So Eve took the fruit. Adam stood there and watched. She didn't die. Maybe I'll take a bite. And then they fell, and they had to, God kicked them out of the garden. We have that same desire to be the judges of good and evil. I want to judge who is right, who is wrong. I want to judge who is worthy, who is unworthy. I want to judge who belongs, who does not belong. Have you guys ever felt judged? Anybody in here ever felt judged? Rejected, unworthy. We've all been victim of it, but we've all been guilty of it, of looking at others thinking, yeah, they don't belong. They're not worthy. We're constantly struggling with this. And the reason we struggle is I have this shame in my heart. I need to hide. I need to, get myself really fashionable and look good. I don't want people to see what is in my heart. So I want to judge others. If you show partiality, you're committing sin and convicted by the law as transgressors. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. He says you have evil thoughts when we show. He talks about the church looking at a poor man and just judging him. He's not worthy. James says this is evil. Why do you think you're better? Why do you think if you're blessed, if you're doing well, if you're fruitful, you think somehow you've earned that, somehow you've deserved that? You deserve to make, straight A's. You deserve to be able to go to a great school. You've been blessed. You've been blessed by being able to do this work. It's a gift from God. Do you remember... Do you remember when Moses made a special request of God? Moses said, Lord, let me see you. I want to see your glory. What did God tell him? What happens if we see God? He said, you'll die. If you stare at the sun, what'll happen? You go blind. You stare at God, you die. God said, you cannot see me. He said, I'll let you see my back and I'll pass by. And when God told him that, he said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll pass by you. You can see my back. Of all the things God could have said, what did he say? He proclaimed his name, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. He said, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. If we want to see God, we leave judgment to God. It's this great temptation. I want to judge. We want to see him. If we just want to see his back, then we leave judgment to God. This temptation it's sinful. Somehow I'm more deserving, I'm more worthy, this person's not. We've misunderstood. At the very end of the Bible, Old Testament, the book of Malachi, God said, I'm going to bring judgment on you. You are not taking care of the sojourner. You guys were sojourners, and somehow you think now that you're better than the sojourners. You thrust out the widow and the fatherless against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me. I'm bringing judgment. Okay, so we're created for community. We're corrupted by sin. The good news of the gospel is we're cleansed by grace. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. He covered them, covered their nakedness, went and killed an animal. I bet you he killed a lamb. Use a skin, cover their nakedness, sent them out of the garden. But he began his plan for redemption. He had a plan for salvation, to bring him back into fellowship, bring his people back into fellowship with him. He had a plan to pay for their sins. Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay the price of the evil in the world. That's it. He created the world. He loved the world. He will pay the price. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that we could be redeemed. And we can have reconciliation with God. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And there's restoration of the relationship. We come into his presence. Now, there's a catch to it, right? What's the catch? God will pay for our sin freely, gives it freely. It's not really a catch. That may be the right word. He pays for our sin. He doesn't pay for our love. He doesn't pay for our devotion. We get to give that freely. We get to show that we love him. Going through, James talks about it, it's a blessing. Consider it all joy to go through various trials. Your faith is being refined. You're drawing closer to God. His spirit is moving in you to give you faith, to give you courage, give you hope, give you endurance, that you may be perfect and complete. So he brings the trials as a blessing to draw us closer, that in the midst of them, we can say, yes, I love Jesus. I love Jesus more than the things of this world, more than the acceptance of people in the world. They might reject me, but I have my acceptance in Christ. Said in Hosea, he said, I will betroth you to me forever. I'll betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in love and mercy. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness. You shall know the Lord. This promise was all through the Old Testament. Look at this psalm, Psalm 87. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. All these non-Jewish peoples, all these Gentiles. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs of joy are in you. God's telling the Israel, these other nations, I'm going to have children from them that belong. They belong to Israel, just like Rahab, right? She had Canaanite blood. Let her name be recorded in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It says, these are also going to be my children. They belong here. That promise was all through the Old Testament. Isaiah talked about how God's going to make a great banquet of rich food for all peoples. And peoples from all over will come and feast at this banquet. Said he's going to bring springs in the desert. There's going to be a highway of holiness. People can walk on even if they are fools. They will not be hurt there. They will be accepted. They belong there. James says here, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Jesus rose again, the first fruits of a new creation. And then his apostles, his disciples, the early church, were a kind of first fruits of his creatures for the new kingdom that he was establishing, the new administration of God's salvation. The old self has died. No more shame, no more judgment. This is hard to do. It was hard for them. It's still hard for us. Do you remember when Jesus came to his hometown? He came to Nazareth, and read from the prophet Isaiah. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Proclaim good news to the poor, and the eyes of the blind shall see, and the lame shall leap like a deer. And Jesus told them, this prophecy has come true today in your presence. He said very, very clearly, I am the fulfillment of this. I am the Messiah. How did the people respond? They spoke well of him. This is in his hometown. They spoke well of him. And then what did Jesus start talking about? He talked about how Naaman, the Syrian, the foreigner, said he got healed of his leprosy. There are many lepers in Israel, but God only healed this foreigner. And he said the Syrophoenician woman, there were many women who were hungry at the time. Who did Elijah go and help? He helped a foreign woman. How did the people respond then? Now we have to kill you, Jesus. They went to kill him. He talked about God showing his favor to non-Jews, that the gospel would go forth, just like in the fulfillment of the promise of Psalm 87. You remember when Paul was going around planting churches. He was going around preaching the gospel, and Gentiles, non-Jews, were coming into the church. And Paul went to Jerusalem, and people were angry, and they arrested him, and he shared his testimony. There's a big crowd. The soldiers had to hold Paul, and he's talking to a big crowd, talking in Hebrew. And he shares his testimony. He said, I was killing Christians. I was persecuting the church. And I was on my way to Damascus, and I fell off my donkey, and I saw the light, and God spoke to me. And Jesus explained, no, he is the Messiah. Paul is his testimony. And so now I'm following Jesus. Everybody listened very quietly. And then Acts, what chapter is it? It specifically says, Paul came to one word, and everything suddenly changed. He said, God told me, I'm sending you, I'm making you a light to the Gentiles. The crowd erupts, kill the guy. So I'm just saying, all through the Bible, the Old Testament, the Jews, and we will struggle with the same thing, saying, somehow I deserve to be so blessed. I have received mercy and grace from God, and living a Christian life, I'm very blessed, and I've earned it. I deserve it. Say, no, you don't understand the gospel. You don't deserve any of this. You see, every good thing, every good and perfect thing that I have, it comes from God. It comes from His grace, His mercy. That's what I want to proclaim. I'm not any better than anyone else. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We want to be poor in spirit, bankrupt in spirit. Yeah, there's nothing good in me. I have nothing of my own to boast about. I'm not smarter than the next guy. Smarter, I'm not more humble. I'm not more teachable. No, it's God's grace in me. I am bankrupt. That's who Jesus identifies with. He understands what it's like to be rejected, right? He grew up a child refugee, right? They went to Egypt, came back as a migrant. He hung out with people that everyone else would like to reject. Who are you eating with these people? His own friends completely abandoned him at the end. He knows what it's like to be rejected because he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we recognize that judgment in ourselves, we want to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've judged this person. Somehow I thought I'm more worthy than they are. Proclaim the law of liberty. Remember in the previous verses, James talks about the guy who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. And we talk about it's like a guy in the gym keeps flexing how beautiful he is, how strong, how powerful. Look in the Bible, all these laws. Oh, I'm so righteous. I'm so deserving of God's favor. And the contrast to that is to look at the law of liberty, the law of freedom. But I know that this every good thing I have, it's free. It's from God. That's what I want to proclaim. One of the redeemed. Okay. The old self has died. No more shame. No more judgment. Created for community. Corrupted by sin. Cleansed by grace. And now called to the communion of saints. Anybody know the Apostles' Creed? Sometimes we'll sing it. Sometimes we'll recite it. In the 5th century, he said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's the end of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints. Now listen, Peter, you listening? When the New Testament calls people saints, only does it in the plural. Never calls an individual person a saint. Look around the room. It might be hard to call an individual a saint, right? This person, I don't know. Don't stand up and point at anyone, but you know what I'm saying. But as a body, right? It's a body of saints. I mean, the Corinthian church said, Paul said, you're saints. This church was tolerating, one of the members was in an incestuous relationship. They're communion, meals, some people were getting drunk, some people were going hungry. They were struggling to stay healthy. They were struggling to reflect God's glory. He said, you are saints. You're part of the communion of saints. On the one hand, right, it's given to us freely. Says you're part of the nation of saints. On the other hand, to follow Jesus, when he gives us his spirit, he gives us courage. He gives us endurance. He gives us steadfastness. He gives us spiritual gifts. Gives us good works that he prepares. And we can do wonderful works, right? He gives us great works. At the end of, you go and we pass out bags, we do mission work, we do VBS, and at the end of it, we're high-fiving and saying, that was awesome. But at the same time, we're saying, it's all God. It's his glory. It's not me. It's not anything I've done. It's by his grace. So someday there's going to be a banquet, right? Banquet of the poor in spirit. A banquet of the courageous. Banquet of the peacemakers. A banquet of the peaceful. The peacemakers, the gentle and the lowly. It's gonna be, and Jesus said, he's going to gird himself. He's going to serve us. We want to be at that banquet. You belong at that banquet. It's going to be a fellowship. Makes something like the Fellowship of the Ring look like a children's party, right? Make any kind of victory you've experienced on a sports team. We got on our honeymoon, I took Melissa to see Facing the Giants, this great, I'm such a romantic guy, right? At the end of it, the sports team, they're celebrating. Hey, we did it. We got the victory. There's going to be a wonderful, awesome fellowship of victory. And we're going to banquet together the communion of saints. That's how we want to think of the church. That's how we want to what we want to be welcoming people to. It says of Jesus, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. We want to be praying for one another. We want to be interceding for one another. A lot of times, we all struggle with sin. We struggle with pride, with selfishness. You don't need to elbow anybody, but you know what I'm talking about, right? You pretty much have two choices. Two choices when we see someone struggling with sin. Either we can judge them, or we can intercede, we can pray. There's not room for being neutral. There's not room for being ambivalent. Am I going to judge this person, think critically of them? Or like Jesus, I'm going to intercede, I'm going to pray, I'm going to get on my knees and lift this person up, say, Lord, I pray this person could have a greater sense of your grace. I pray that they could be more focused on you and less on themselves and have the joy, be boasting in your mercy. I see, Lord, I might see pride in them. I pray they could lose that, repent of that. We can intercede for one another in that way. When we do that, we come together, there is grace, there is worship. We read just a couple pages from this book, a devotional book, Three Big Questions. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't want advice or opinions? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Maybe you were going through a hard time and all you wanted was to sit in a room with your best friend. No talking, no questioning, no storytelling. You simply wanted to be with someone you could trust without having to explain anything. It's just my friend, right? You understand, right? I just need a safe, quiet place with my friend or friends. It's called the Ministry of the Presence. Uncomplicated, unassuming, demands nothing. Even Jesus, God with us, desired this kind of ministry of the presence with his closest friends. Matthew 26, when facing the greatest trial of his life, going to the cross, he asked his disciples to keep watch and pray. He said, could you just stay awake? Just stay awake and pray with me. They kept falling asleep. It's the same kind of a presence. They could do nothing to change what was about to happen to him. He simply wanted their presence. And he promised the same thing. What did he say in the Great Commission? Go make disciples of all the nations. So that I'm with you always to the end of the age. So let us continue steadfastly and pray for one another. And not show any kind of judgment, no matter who walks in the door. Say, we're welcome. You're welcome. We're glad you're here. It's a poor man. If it's a rich man, if a gay couple comes to the door, we say, hey, we want you to come in and taste and see that God is good. No judgment here. If no matter who, we want to say, hey, we want you to hear the gospel. We want to proclaim God's goodness, and we want to share it with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you call us, Lord, to fight the good fight. Lord, you call us to testify to your grace, Lord, that more than any kind of ritual of sacrifice, Lord, you want us to testify that we are sinners saved by grace. We're thankful for your grace, that we have no place to judge people's motives, judge people's hearts, judge people's character. Because, Lord, we know in our hearts, you forgave us of our sin. Lord, we want to have that same attitude toward one another and toward any outsiders who come in. Lord, give us the strength, the peace of mind, the courage, Lord, to show this to the world. And we pray everyone who comes in, Lord, would say either I belong here or, oh, I want to belong here, or be glorified. And we pray that many more come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.